A very good morning to you as you're making your way to your seat. Today we have a very special birthday among us. Renee Brown, is your birthday. So we want to sing happy birthday to Renee and happy birthday to everyone else who had a birthday this week as well. On the count of three, one, two, three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Renee. Happy birthday to you.
And many more. Happy birthday, Renee. Happy birthday to everyone celebrating birthdays this past week or this week. Highlight a few announcements, and then we have some youth who want to make an announcement. The fourth Saturday of the month at 7 a.m. at the Blue Star Restaurant, the men will be gathering for men's ministry. So mark your calendars, men, for the fourth Saturday, 7 a.m. at Blue Star Restaurant. We also want to highlight next Sunday, we'll be having an anointing service. And of course, we know from the book of James that those among us who are sick, those seeking guidance, those who desire to be anointed, to come before the elders, and we'll do so, have some deacons available for an anointing service next Sunday. And then the following Sunday, the 28th, we'll be celebrating the communion around the pews here in the sanctuary. So come out the next two Sundays in for sure to join in anointing and to join in the communion services. We want to invite the youth to come forward. They're going to share an announcement about NYC.
Good morning. So today is Soup and Sandwich Sunday. And so after the service, if you want to go downstairs and help us raise money for NYC, there's Soup and Sandwich, and we're already at 11,900. So we're, like, as you can see on the thermometer, we're almost there, but we need your help to get us to that fundraiser. Again, on February 4th, we'll also have a Soup and Sandwich.
So the youth are active here at Little Swatara, so we want to encourage them. So give them a round of applause and just encourage our youth here that are part of Little Swatara. And we're here for them. We want to support them. So be sure to show up for that Soup and Sandwich afterwards. And you don't even have to show up to make a donation. Just put it in an envelope, mark it for NYC, and they'd be very, very grateful, as you can see, as they come forward to share. We also want to highlight how many of you have picked up your 2018 directory. Your 2018 directory. Bud, where did you find that? In the back, in the Narthex area, you'll see on the table, the 2018 directories are there. We're producing them week after week, so feel free to take one or two or three, and we'll make sure we have enough for everyone so you can stay connected to one another. 2018, let's be connected, calling upon one another, visiting one another, encouraging one another, and being the church together. So let's rise, and let's begin our opening worship, Create in Me a Clean Heart. Please rise.
Renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
invite you at this time to share in any joys or concerns. We gratefully appreciate all the prayers for Denise. She's been through the infusion this past week, and now this is the week of recovery. So pray for her to be able to just rest, because she's not very good at that, and she wanted to be here this morning, but we encourage her to just stay home with the new puppy we have and just enjoy with that little fellow. But thank you for your prayers, and the microphone will be coming around. Simply slip your hand in the air and share any joys or concerns you may have this morning.
Pastor Matt, I have one. The family of Sonny Kramer, the funeral services are today. He was a classmate of Craig and Gary B. Shore. He passed away.
Sonny?
So it's today. Sonny Kramer.
A few years back, we were bringing a friend with us to a few different church functions. He was a foster boy that lived right down the road from us, and he had a special place in our heart, and he was moved quite frequently. And recently, Gavin was back in touch with us, and we found out that he is going to have his forever home, and he's getting adopted, and he's living with them now, but they're in the process of filling out the paperwork. So just so thankful that God hears our prayers for the children in our community and for the people that loved on him when he was here. We're so thankful that he had that experience.
His name was Gavin? Yes, I remember Gavin. Yes.
And I also want to ask for prayers for Daniel again. We've been having a lot more seizures here late, 3 in the last 2 days. So just pray that they get these medicines figured out. I'm about ready to start him on some holistic medicines, just because these medicines, that these seizure meds they have him on, are just not working. So just pray that we can figure something out.
The one thing we do cling to as a church family is God is good yesterday, God is good today, and God is going to be good tomorrow. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your incredible love that you pour out upon us. Father, we thank you for the forgiveness that you offer us through the cross. Father, we thank you for the empty tomb and the hope that we have in our salvation, knowing that the suffering we endure is only for a little while. But Father, it doesn't make it any easier, and we cling to you. We cling to the knowledge that you are good despite the challenges we face. And we just are praying on behalf of Daniel this morning. You know the seizure activity he's been experiencing. But Father, we claim your son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord. We claim you as the master physician. And we pray for Daniel right now in this very moment that these seizures would cease. We know, Father, we've tried modern medicine, but Father, we're asking your healing touch to be upon him and just allow him to have wholeness and to have normal living, that he might experience you in powerful ways because of this healing, and just make it known to the world through him that you are the master physician. And thank you for being with his family, for being with Gavin, who has been a part of their family, and that forever home that these foster kids are so searching for. So we thank you for Gavin and that opportunity for him to find that forever home. And we pray that for many of the children who are searching, who are looking for their forever home, Lord, that you would just allow families to step up and to say, yes, I'll be a foster home. I'll take care of this child and I'll adopt them. We just thank you, Father, for every child among us in that situation that we have come around and we have surrounded with love. We think of Sonny's family and the friends that are gathering for his services today, and just pray that you would be their peace. You would be their comfort. You would come alongside them as they grieve and they mourn this loss. And think of so many others that we've lost this past year and even this year. And just pray, Father, that you would reach out and just touch the lives of those who are struggling with grief right now, and just allow them to know just how near you are to them. Just wrap your loving arms around them and just let them know that extra dose of love that's being poured out upon them. Lord, we know that we do suffer. We know that there are challenges before us. And we just lift up John and Ruth this morning. We lift up Carl and Faye, and we lift up Earl and Grace and Dorothy, and we lift up Nancy, and we lift up Ruth this morning, and Sean and Jennifer and May and Jackson and Christine and Sharon and Denise. And we lift up the gentleman facing a heart aorta procedure and ask, Father, that you would be near to each of them. We thank you, Father, for just being a God that we can call upon. How many gods actually hear what other gods are being prayed to? And we know that you do hear. So thank you for being a God that hears our prayers and responds to them and reacts to them and comes near to us as we call upon you. So thank you, Father, that we have a listening God. And we just pray now during these next few moments of silent prayer that you would hear those prayers upon our hearts, and you would hear the prayers of confession too, for we know we're not perfect, we sin. And so we lift up those prayers of confession and receive forgiveness this morning as well. Hear our prayers. God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercies that are new each day. We thank you, Father, that there is an eternal home that awaits each of us. And we celebrate this morning the life of each person that's gathered here this morning. It is precious, it is dear to you, and it's precious and dear to each of us as we live together among one another, encouraging and uplifting each other. Stir us on as the church, Father, to make a difference in this community. Help us to love and to love deeply others through the way we share stories, through the way that we interact and speak words of uplifting comments. And just thank you, Father, for being with every single family, every single individual here this morning. And just enter into whatever they're going through right now and let each of them know your presence. And we just thank you for life, Lord. We thank you for life everlasting. And we just pray now, we continue to worship you with all of our heart. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you all join us in singing Heart of Worship?
Music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's a word that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself, it's not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself, it's not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
As we prepare for this morning's offering, I share this thought on stewardship and giving called the Circle of Life. In Isaiah 55:10, it reads, "The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry." God created the circle of life, a circle that is finely balanced and beautiful to behold. The glories of creation were not made for our pleasure only, but for His. We were made to be the caretakers of His garden. So just how is that working out? Christ came to reconcile all things to Himself, including not just those on the earth, but with the earth, bringing the circle back into balance. We can honor Him by honoring the creation that He loves. Would you pray with me? Father, we sometimes forget that just as God put Adam in the Garden of Eden as its caretaker, we are still expected to be good stewards of this natural world around us. We pray, Father, that we would indeed be stewards of the finances that you have given us, and we would be aware of the difference, the imprint that we're making on this community. So thank you, Father, for each caretaker here this morning, for every giver here this morning. Bless them and allow us to be a blessing to you as we give with cheerful hearts this morning. And it's in Jesus' name, amen.
You are the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, I'm Christ. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Didn't want heaven without. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Not hold you, dwelt on before you, you silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring in praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
I'd like to invite the children to come join me up front. I'm going to change it up today and sit over here. One day, Jesus was in the temple teaching the people who were gathered there. A group of religious leaders began to ask him tricky questions to try and embarrass him so the people would not listen to him. One of the men asked Jesus, "Which is the greatest commandment?" Which one of the commandments do you think is the greatest? Do you know what the Ten Commandments are? Yeah? Which one's the greatest?
The tenth one.
The tenth one? Jesus answered him, "The most important one is this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest commandment." How do you think we might show God's love with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind? You got an answer? Yeah? How do you think we can show it? All right, you guys are tired too. So, how about, what if we worship? Can we show God's love by that? How about praying?
Yeah.
Bible studies?
Yeah.
Singing praises?
Yeah.
Bringing our offering?
Yeah.
And giving thanks for all of his blessings?
Yeah.
Do you know what God says is the next greatest commandment? Are we supposed to love our neighbor?
Yeah.
Is that important?
Yeah.
So the next, he said, the second is, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, how do you love your neighbor? Tricky question. Not really, though. Hey, Ben, how do you love your neighbor? Hey, Naomi, how do you love your neighbor? I'm putting you on the spot now. No idea? All right. Could we treat them how we want to be treated?
Yeah.
How about be kind? Can we forgive them when they hurt our feelings? And be helpful when we're in times of trouble?
Yeah.
Can we be their friend?
Yeah.
So these are the commandments that Jesus said were the most important. It isn't easy to keep those commandments, is it? Is it easy to love your neighbor as yourself? Not really. How about love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and all your strength? Is it easy to do that?
Yeah.
Whoa. Well, it's not very easy. We need God's help, and each and every day. So how about we pray and ask for his help?
Dear Father, help us to love you with all our heart and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys go back to your seats. Thanks.
Would you guys rise and join us in singing, Lord, You Have My Heart?
Lord, You have my heart, and I will search for Yours. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. Lord, You have my heart, and I will search for Yours. Let me be to You a sacrifice, and I will praise You. And I will praise You,
and I will sing of love come down.
I will sing of love come
down. I will show your
face. We'll see Your glory here. Lord, You have my heart, and I will search for Yours. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. Lord, You have my heart, and I will search for Yours. Let me be to You a sacrifice, and I will praise You, and I will. We'll see Your glory here, and I will praise You, and I will praise You,
and I will sing of love come down,
I will sing of love come
down, You show your
face, we'll see Your glory. We'll see Your glory. You
never realize how difficult it is to write a sermon when your loved ones are suffering until it happens. The reality was, this wasn't even my first rodeo. It's happened before. But my mind was preoccupied with the situation at hand, yet I was also preoccupied with God getting us through. Are they going to find a vein? Will that vein hold up for 5 days? Is the treatment gonna work this time? And my mind raced day by day as I trusted God to sustain us. Many of you have been where I've been, and you know the feelings I felt. But then those very words came to me that I spoke from my mouth only a week ago. God has something to say. And I remember in that very moment pausing and praying, Lord, I'm listening. It wasn't too long thereafter, as I'm searching for text illustrations, I came across this poem. And it read this: I'd like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep, but just enough for a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the shining sun. I don't want too much of God that I have to sacrifice or to suffer. I just want to be happy, not transformed. I want the warmth of the womb, not that new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. Yes, I'd like to buy $3 worth of God, please. It was like a stone hit me right between the eyes. It was like a Holyfield punch right to the gut. The kind of hit that makes you realize God's been speaking all along. I just wasn't listening. That distraction right in front of me could be the very catalyst to the growth I longed for. But when we think about it, those words, be transformed, that are spoken over us in Scripture, mean more than $3 worth of God, don't they? And friends, after this past week, I started to realize we like the benefits of Christ, but we don't really like the costs. We like things to go our way. We like to know what to expect. It wasn't the case with three men who were waiting in the room as expectant fathers. Some while later, a nurse comes in and announces to one of the men that his wife was about to give birth to twins. That's amazing. He said, I work for Twin Pine Motor Company. About 20 minutes later, another nurse comes in and announces to the second gentleman his wife was giving birth to triplets. Wow, that's incredible. I work for the 3M company. And just like that, upon hearing this, the third man fell off of his chair. He was out cold. It took quite a while to revive him, but when he came through, they asked, what happened? And the expected father said, I work for 7-Eleven. Friends, if we're honest, we don't mind the teeny tiny setbacks. But pick us up, Lord. Dust us off. Get us back in the game. But I soon realized deep down we all want to be different. We all want to be changed. We can actually look around this sanctuary as the body of Christ and say, not any one of us wants to be the same. But friends, we know the process. We know the price is far more than $3. We're talking our very lives on the line for others, for the sake of Christ, loving like Jesus. We know it takes initiative. We know it takes moving forward, letting go. But the past indeed has taught us some valuable lessons. So this morning, we're going to go old school. We're going to go back in the day when Super Mario Brothers was on Nintendo, when Atari kept us entertained with Pitfall and Frogger, when Knight Rider and Kit were so cool, and vinyl records and cassette tapes got us in the groove. The outdoors had more appeal than our phones, and the biggest problem we actually had was the obstacle in front of our swing set in the form of a huge mud puddle. And the only thing getting us indoors was dinner. And even then, if the fish were biting, my brother and I were known to stay out just a bit longer for that big bass. So today, friends, we begin our new series, Undone. And I invite you to hear familiar words from the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Back in the day, this was known as the Shema, taken from the first word hear in Hebrew. Modern Jews considered the recital of the Shema both evening and morning to be a sacred duty. It was cited by Jesus as the greatest commandment in the law. We could say it's equivalent to the Lord's Prayer that's recited week in and week out in many churches. But what's interesting is this: the command itself is impossible to obey. No human being with a fallen nature can possibly love God with all his heart, soul, and strength 24 hours a day. It seems unfair. To disobey any command of God is sin. So think about that for a moment. without even considering any other sins, every single one of us is condemned by our inability to fulfill this one command. But friends, listen closely. This is why Jesus continually reminded the Pharisees they could not keep the law. You see, he was trying to get them to see their complete spiritual bankruptcy and their need for a Savior. Without the cleansing of sin, Jesus alone provides. Without the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit who lives in the hearts of the redeemed, loving God to any degree is impossible. So the question we need to ask is, how do we begin to love God the way we should? Just as the man in Mark 9:24 asks God to help his unbelief, so too we call upon God to help us in those areas we don't love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. You see, friends, it's the power of the Spirit we need to do the impossible. Verse 6 goes on to say, "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts." Just like the New Testament passage we read last week, being a disciple of Jesus Christ means our whole life and our whole self is involved. There's not a single part of us not involved in serving God. So let's take a moment, let's define those areas over the next several weeks we'll be talking about we desire to find balance. The heart, we know, is our emotions. It's our intentions. It's our motivations. It's how we view the world. Our heart motivation should be to have a right relationship with God and to have holy motivations when pursuing him. The soul is our life essence, our purpose, our intelligence. The mind then is how we conceive what is around us, the way in which we think. When we talk about being a Christian, a disciple, a child of God, we're talking about that personal relationship that sinks down into the very core of who we are as human beings. Now, the strength mentioned here is not physical power. It doesn't matter that you can lift things up and put them down. But rather, it's the intensity with which we are a disciple. A child of God, a disciple of Christ, is not someone that simply possesses faith or confesses the right godly thing at the right time. But rather, a child of God has faith that pursues a life of righteousness, a life of godliness, a life of faithfulness. So friends, if we seriously want to change, if we seriously want to be transformed, our faith is so far rooted in our lives that no part of us can be or will be exempt from God's influence and God's lordship. To put it another way, we're zealous for the things of God. We chase after them with passion. You know, Wile E. Coyote had it right. He never gave up chasing that roadrunner. Friends, there are going to be a lot of those roadrunner moments in our lives where all we hear is beep, beep. But God and his way of life become not only what we do, they become part of who we are to the very core of our being. And at the end of the day, following Jesus is about love. Love that came to us when we were not even looking for it. Now, in most cases, our love and affection for God grows more intense as time goes by. Certainly, young Christians newly saved are very much aware of the love of God and their love for him. But friends, it's through the witness of God's faithfulness during the times of struggle and trial, that a deep love for God grows and grows even more. It brings me back to this past week. Let me set up this room we were in. There's several comfy reclining chairs. Guess who gets to sit in those? The patients, right? Then there were those roller desk chairs that had no arms. The wobbly ones, you know which ones I'm talking about? Guess who gets to sit in one of those? Me. But the thing is, we were never alone in that room. Others were coming in for treatments of many different kinds. Now they say it's hard to love someone we don't know, but knowing God made that possible this past week. And I kept thinking within my mind, God has something to say. And I literally had to say, get out of the way, Matt, get out of the way. You see, there's a reason we're put the same place as someone else. I didn't want to complicate things, so I simply asked my neighbor, what's your story? My wife has MS. She's in flare right now, and she's going through 5 days of Solumedrol. Friends, I cannot begin to tell you how easy the conversation flowed from there. But friends, what if? What if that was our first priority with everyone we met? Learning their stories. Everyone has one. I don't have to tell you the way that God intersects every story that's ever been told. And it's no doubt that God is speaking and writing our stories day in and day out. But friends, those who pursue God, those who pursue His righteousness, who take seriously the command to love Him above all else, are those who are consumed with the things of God. They're eager to study His word, eager to pray, eager to obey and honor God in all things. And they're eager to share Jesus Christ with others. I'll tell you what, by the end of the week, my forehead hurts so bad. I've been hit so many times that this year is the new you that's been waiting. We can love the Lord our God, and we can reveal Him to others. Shakespeare wrote this, "There is a tide in the affairs of men, which taken at the flood leads on to fortune. Omitted, all the voyage of their life is bound in shallows and in miseries." The Latins had a phrase that expressed this same idea. Carpe diem, quam minimum credula postero, which translates, seize the day. Put no trust in tomorrow. Friends, the reality is this. Today may be the only day we have left. So let's make a difference for Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father, the task before us is daunting. We know on our own we simply cannot accomplish. But Father, we know with You, with Your Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, we can do great things. We can do impossible things. But Father, we know that means surrender. Father, we know that means obedience. Father, that means the pleasures of this world sometimes must take a back seat, that we pursue the things of You. So Father, here we are in 2018, and we've been here a few weeks already asking You to move in our midst, and we're praying that this would be the year that we would be transformed in ways that others would notice, and they would ask us, why are You the way You are? Why do You do what You do? And we can share the good news of Christ. May it be so. In the Son's name, Jesus our Lord. Amen and amen.
Would you all rise and join us in singing in our final song for the day, How Great Thou Art. It will be verses 1, 3, and 4. And actually, not sure if you guys have your hymnals out there or not. They're out there. They are number 7 in the supplement, but they'll also be behind me on the screen.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds Thy hands have made,
see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe display. Then it sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I faith a God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow with humble adoration, and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art.
As we leave this place, use this t-shirt as your way to start stories. It says, I am God's favorite. But on the back it says, and so are you. Remember that this morning, church. You each are God's favorite, but the person standing next to you is also God's favorite. Go spread that good news in the world that we are God's favorite, and we can share that news with everyone. Amen.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to me. How great thou art. Sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.